wave across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment, presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the government may have given up on the chase for skase, but we certainly haven't. We'll be calling on you, the listeners, to help us lure the bugger back. Also today, a dive video hoax update. Look out, rabbits, it's caliche virus time. No shearing needles, you bunnies. We've got good news for those who like to put the heat to the meat. And what's wrong with calling a street Wagga Wagga Drive, I ask you. As usual, we'll play Radio Gladiators and pot a shite. And dropping by today for a bit of a chat, it's the man behind Elliot Goblet, Jack Levi. Yes, it's all coming up on the program. London Sun newspaper says maybe the work of cunning fraudsters, Martin Malloy. It's Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy. Good afternoon, Australia. It's the Thursday edition. Let's not deny it. Who's in today? Me, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's been snubbed by the AFI Awards again. Sure, he wasn't actually in anything this year, but it's a snubbing nonetheless, Mick Malloy.
They're always looking for new ways not to nominate me.
And this one, you know, okay, fair enough, I haven't released anything, but, you know, you could see them rubbing their hands in glee when they found that out.
Read between the lines. But before we get to the AFI nominations, Mick, what about what's going on in Blighty? I love saying Blighty.
Old Blighty.
Old Blighty. Yep. The British public are wandering around dazed today, stunned by the latest bombshell on the front page of Rupert Murdoch's Sun newspaper. Have you seen it? I don't believe it's real myself. It's an apology. An apology from a Murdoch paper. It just doesn't ring true.
What's going on?
It's clearly the work of cunning fraudsters. Yes, the editors of The Sun have admitted they were hoaxed. The Princess Di bra and panties romp video was a fake. And today they've printed a full apology to Di and Major James Hewitt. Can I read it out to you, Mickey?
Please.
Call Lummy, check the tits on us. We were duped. It's a case of gotcha with your pants down for the cheeky chaps of Fleet Street. I feel like a bigger dick than Gazza, says saucy Sun Supremo Stuart Hubba Hubba Higgins, as he prepares to send Princess Di a fruit basket bigger than Samantha Fox's fun bags. And that's just the headline. But here's that heartfelt retraction.
Okay.
We, the editors and publishers of The Sun, would like to extend a full and unequivocal apology for any undue hurt and anguish we may have caused Squidgy and the Supercad. We now realise we were the victims of a hoax and we'll be sending a full written explanation to both Princess Flabby Thighs and Major Rotter.
Yep.
P.S. Turn to page 3 to check out our artist's impression of what the dirty duo might look like if they were on the job at Highgrove. Cool, nice melons, Your Highness. Arise, Lord Hewitt. Now, what I love is how all through this business, James Hewitt never bothered to deny the authenticity of the tape.
No, he didn't.
Didn't look surprised at all. At one point he even said, I really would like to know who took this footage of me. He's obviously just assumed it was all that playful cushion fight, tracky dack striptease, bit of couchwork, riding around the room like a horse. Yeah, that sounds like me. Fair enough.
It's all coming back to me now.
But The Sun have apologised, which is more than can be said of Channel 7 who ran the footage here. I saw one of the Today Tonight hosts last night going, yes, we did get sucked in, but at least we didn't tape it illegally and broadcast it like Channel 10. Yes, they're the real bad guys here. They illegally broadcast the illegal footage. It's like saying, yes, they robbed the bank too, but they were worse because they double parked out the front. At least we were displaying a pickup and delivery license on the dash. The Sun newspaper, of course, have a long history of being sucked in by hoaxes. Most famously, the so-called Hitler diaries. Remember that? Which appeared to be authentic, even to experts, but were later found to have been swiped off the desk of Victorian Premier Jeff Kennett. That's what happened there.
I see.
Fooled everybody. The Di video, as we know now, was stolen from filmmaker Nick Hedges, who can't believe the newspaper fell for it. As he points out, no one spotted the fact that the Diana figure was wearing her watch on the wrong hand. I wasn't watching the watch myself when that was going on. He says, I'd have thought the sliding patio door in the middle of shot would have been a giveaway, and the IKEA furniture in the background must also have been a clue that this wasn't Highgrove. Yeah, I can't see Di putting together all those awkward bits of that Swedish bloody wardrobe.
Won't go.
And here's another one, Mickey, they didn't mention this one. Princess Diana always rides side saddle.
We know that. Everyone
knows that. Hedges had made the video as a comedy sketch pilot for friends who wanted to get into TV. Well, mission accomplished. That's how Hale and Pace got onto TV, Mick. Did you know that?
No.
Don't you remember that footage of them playing horsey a few years back?
Oh, yes.
The Sun tried to claim it was Prince Andrew and Fergie on their wedding night. Fooled me.
That's the simple life. That's the song Christopher Skase will be singing today, I reckon.
Singing anything he likes.
Thanks very much, John Farnham, here at Martin Molloy. Mick, what's going on in the animal kingdom?
Tone, the war has begun. Yesterday at 11 a.m. on the outskirts of Wagga Wagga in southern New South Wales, 16 messengers of death, a.k.a. just over a dozen little fluffy bunny rabbits, were released into what up until now has been known as rural Australia, but what soon will be known around the world as the killing fields.
Oh, it's begun, has it?
A suicide squad of rabbits pumped to the eyeballs with the Caliche virus, we're calling them the Caliche virus 16, are expected to be dead by the weekend, but not before releasing their deadly plague. Casualties are expected to be high, with hundreds of thousands of rabbits to be dead within months, and 80% of the 200 million Australia-wide population to be wiped out in 2 years.
Wow.
In bunny circles, this is being talked up as a holocaust that makes the events depicted in Watership Down look like a Sunday morning brunch down the veggie patch. There's widespread panic, Tone. Yeah. Wealthy rabbits are attempting to get their bodies cryogenically frozen. There's been reports of widespread looting. It's a community living in fear. Living in fear of the 16 Caliche virus-injected suicide machines who roam the countryside chanting their song of death. They're like Terminators, Tone, sent from the future to end life as bunnies know it on this planet.
Yeah.
You won't find a pair of underpants on any rabbit today that isn't chock-a-block with droppings, T. Martin.
I've checked.
They're just big bags of marbles, as their up until now idyllic lifestyle of just nibbling, twitching and rooting reaches its grisly conclusion. How history will judge these events is anyone's guess. I'm sure there'll be the odd historian who'll look back and claim the whole thing never happened. But, Tone, I can't help thinking what a horrible way to go.
Yeah.
To be annihilated by 16 of your own. When we think of the human race being entirely obliterated, we assume it'll be some Independence Day-style raid from another planet involving a spaceship the size of Scandinavia. You don't think for a minute that it could just be 16 blokes in tracky dacks going about their business. Imagine, say, the entire world's population decimated by, well, I don't know, manpower. Who's to say manpower haven't been injected with something other than steroids capable of ravaging the human population?
Yeah.
They tour. It could all be over in weeks. What about the tap dogs? They're out and about. They could get you any number of ways. They could quite easily bore us all to death. Anyone going to see tap dogs this week? Avert your eyes! They'll be tapping on the lid of your coffin if you don't be careful. What about the Wiggles?
Oh, yeah.
Who's to say they aren't in cahoots with some mad scientist who's doped them up to the eyeballs with some bizarre potion and has sent them out to prey on our young? What about the Jackson family? Sure, we all have a laugh at Jacko getting round in his surgical mask, but what does he know? Who's he working for? No, Tone, this weekend, spare a thought for our old friend, the bunny rabbit, who face the most serious threat to their existence since Elmer Fudd was handed a shoddy.
That's the Macarena. Skase be doing that one too, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
That's Lost. Is that the Lost Del Rio version? Good, I just can never be sure. There's so many of them, they're breeding like Aussie rabbits. Here at Martin Molloy.
Darling, how are those chops coming along?
Fine, fine, sweetheart. Just fine.
Come on, you stupid barbecue. What is your problem?
Everybody's at the table.
All right.
Jesus, come on, you stupid barbecue.
Stop right there.
Huh?
Is your old barbecue a cumbersome beast that's really getting you down?
Yeah.
Then give it the old heave-ho and replace it with a Weber.
A Weber?
Yes, but not just any old Weber. Why not try the Andrew Lloyd Webber? New from Martin Molloy. It's just like an ordinary barbecue until you throw on some meat. Then it comes to life with the original compositions of musical impresario Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Darling, how are those chops coming along?
Just putting them on now.
Yum-yum. Who's the lucky boy?
Now, not only do those chops smell good, they sound fairly impressive too. The Andrew Lloyd Webber is the perfect Barbie for any occasion, whether you're cooking for friends.
Hey, Dave, how do you like your snags? Upbeat and vibey or kind of mysterious and melancholy?
Oh, mysterious and melancholy.
Coming right up.
Creepy.
More entertaining for larger groups.
How are those steaks looking, Carl?
Still a little pink pumpkin. Might need another couple of verses.
And if you ring and order your Andrew Lloyd Webber now, we'll throw in our new Nirvana Lounge absolutely free.
Hey, Barry, is this seat taken?
Go for your life, chumbly bum.
Beauty.
So say goodbye to the old Barbie and hello to the Andrew Lloyd Webber, where it's not just the sausages providing the sizzle.
Yeah, at Martin Malloy, we're in the next hour. Jack Levi's going to be dropping by, probably better known through his alter ego, Elliot Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack, really, there's quite a contrast you'll find between Jack and Elliot. Jack's just off the leash.
Absolutely. Look out.
He's got a book out, so we'll talk to him about that. He's been on the show before. And also, Pot of Shite. We're persisting on with it.
We are indeed.
Was it any good yesterday?
It's always kind of like that. Leaves you wondering, was it any good? But I think it was. We had some good callers.
Didn't we have a bloke doing a real fast version of The Devil Went Down to Georgia? Or did I just dream that?
No, that happened.
That really
it
happened.
It was the fastest version I've ever heard.
What about, Christopher Skase? We're giving you the chance to help him, come back, to help him feel more welcome. You know, I think that's the problem with Skasey.
Yeah.
He just doesn't feel welcome here.
It's time to extend the open hand of friendship.
We'll be doing
build
that.
A bridge for Skasey.
Let's do that in Radio Gladiators. Get the listeners involved. Now, what else? A couple of things. I'd just like to congratulate our comrades down at Frontline. They've been nominated for a couple of AFI awards.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, that's a bad sign, but I'm giving it the thumbs up. And the press don't like it, do they?
No, they don't.
Because Frontline's been nominated as a drama yet again, and that twit Robert Fidgen, who writes for the Herald Sun in Melbourne, he just can't take it.
Oh, it's just not right. He's never given up. Because he's always been wrong. He's never forgiven him for making an absolute liar out of him. Making him look like the biggest goog in television journalism doing the rounds in the country today.
It's an ill-fitting suit. They shouldn't be in drama. There should be more nominations for Halifax. They had a much bigger launch. There was wine, there was food. They really sucked up to me. That's a proper TV show.
But congratulations, Team Frontline. All the best on the big night. Also, just talking telly for a sec. Mm. Did you watch it? I didn't get home in time for Teddy.
I've made a one.
What happened?
You missed the big revelation.
Hang on. Some people might have taped it. Just in case you've taped it, you haven't seen it yet. Turn it off your radio.
Tune out now because the big revelation.
What was it?
It was a bloke in a Teddy suit.
Was it?
All along, he took his head off, paddle pop lion style. And he turned out to be another character from the old... I can't want to give it away.
I knew it would be something like that.
It was sensational.
A bloke in a Teddy suit. I knew. I just knew it would be something like that.
Yeah. What's sitting under our nose the whole time?
Anything else good on the television?
Oh, I did, Tony. They had some footage also on the news of Korean Parliament.
Oh, I love Korean Parliament. That should be a channel on Foxtel.
It is. It's something I thought I was on Sky Channel for a minute.
They go the thump, Tone.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. You cannot exaggerate.
No. They are just going hammering tongs. And you know what they're saying now? Afterwards, they were interviewing a couple of... I don't think the piece of legislation they were debating actually got through. It was a split decision from the judges in the end. But they were interviewing one of them afterwards, and you know what they said? It's getting so dangerous, we should be allowed to carry guns. And I'm thinking, yeah, that couldn't cause any trouble. Why don't strike me as the kind of guys who'd fire a shot in anger? Why not give them a few of those metal spiky balls on the end of chains and let them go to town? That's incredible.
Well, let's see a bit more gunplay in Australian Parliament during question time. That's what I'm saying.
They don't even have a speaker. They've just got a girl in a bikini. He walks around with a round number. Yeah. I tell you, check it out, Korean Parliament. They should all be wearing little masks and capes.
Oh, you know it's heating up when you see Don King lurking in the crowd in Sunnies with a few contracts. I'd just like to offer condolences to our listeners in Wagga Wagga. I'm sure a lot of people in other parts of the country would have heard about this, Mickey. Are we calling it Wagga Wagga Gate?
Yeah, we'll call it Wagga Wagga Gate.
It's Wagga Wagga Gate. Wagga Wagga is actually twinned with the city of Leavenworth in Kansas stateside. They're sister cities.
Mm-hmm.
And you know about this. Often cities, towns, individual suburbs become twins with places on the other side of the globe. And there's a bit of cultural exchange, that kind of thing. It's fun.
Yeah.
Reverse customs for a day, whatever, that sort of thing. My suburb's actually twinned with Chernobyl, which is a bit unfortunate.
Right.
One day in August every year, we just all come running out of our houses going, oh, my God, I'm growing an extra head. Damn this cultural exchange. But for some weeks, there's been trouble brewing in Leavenworth, Kansas, over the local council's decision to name a street Wagga Wagga Drive.
Mm-hmm.
The residents don't like it because, quote, it sounds funny. And yesterday voted 4-1 to rename the street simply the 20th Street Traffic Way.
Oh, brilliant.
It sounds funny. This is Middle America. We can't have a name like Wagga Wagga. It sounds funny, said a panel of residents from Chattanooga, Albuquerque, Spokane, Fresno, Mississippi, Wichita, Scranton, Boise, Brainerd, Wahoo, and Butt, Montana.
This is Martin Malloy.
It strikes me you should...
Here at Martin Malloy. Now, what's happened? We've all given up, have we? We've all just said, that's it. Scacey can go free. He can do what he bloody wants. We don't care. We're not going to spend any more. Okay, fair enough. Fair bit of taxpayers' money's been spent on the chase for Scace. But maybe we can come up with a more ingenious way of getting him back here. Maybe we don't need $14 million.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can think of a sneakier old way. What's going on? I see he's he can still be arrested if he leaves Spain. Is that, am I getting this right?
No, I don't know.
They're not going to spend any more money on trying to bring him back here.
Mm.
But if he steps off Spanish soil, that's it.
That's one of the few things I think people don't have qualms about paying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really don't think if they had a referendum on this issue, it'd be, here's a blank check. Just get his ass back here. You know what I mean?
What's he doing in Spain? He must be going right up to the very edge of the border, where it joins on to Portugal or wherever, if that's the case. I wouldn't know. I'm a radio dumb guy. Just sticking his foot over into a bit of Portugal. Almost got me.
Look out. There I am.
Almost over. Nah. Come on, Mr. Lavash. Grab me toe. Grab it. Come on. Look, I'm sticking me bot over, Mr. Lavash. Tickle that. It'll be out in a rowboat. He'll be going to the very edge of Spanish waters. Almost over.
Chucking a Yui.
Pointy bit just sticking over. That's international waters. No, we've got to think of a way to get him back here. That's what we're going to do on Radio Gladiators today. We're going to come up with a solution. We're going to send it to the people concerned and get it underway. Any ideas, Mickey?
Yeah. Why don't we tell him if he comes back in the wheelchair, we'll treat him as our very own Christopher Reeve. We'll accord him all the same kind of privileges and, he can post the AFIs or something.
He'd be appearing at the Logies as a special surprise guest. And then, no, we haven't got the music, have we, Gracie? No. Okay. So he'd come out and everyone would go, Scacey! And everyone would be tearing up, we love Scacey.
Yeah,
that could work.
That's all you'd need to do.
Yeah, it's better than any of my ideas. All I've got here, Mickey, is tell him he's won the chance to be part of a CD frenzy at Sydney's Planet Hollywood.
I don't know if that'll do it on its own.
Is there anything going on in Australia now that could lure Scacey back? Because it's pretty darn boring in that little town that he lives in, for as far as I can tell. What about, would John Howard's new era of free speech, would that be enough to get him back?
I don't know.
You can just say anything like, guess $1.5 billion? Or what about the yo-yo craze? I know there's a yo-yo craze sweeping the nation. We don't know if he's into the yo-yos.
I think he is. He used to. I know at all his parties he used to have, like, fire jugglers and guys on unicycles and wacky waiters.
Okay.
I'm sure he'd be keen to go to the yo-yo. Why not tell him, like, when he's on the plane back here, if there's any trouble, he doesn't have to share his oxygen mask with an infant.
Very nice.
So you've got to drop little carrots that might entice us, because that might be the one thing that he's going, I would, but, you know, if there's trouble, I'm not sharing.
Tell him the Hume dams move 5 millimetres.
Oh, I've got to see that for myself.
Where's me plastic ruler? I'm going to check that out.
Tell him we're keen to get his opinion on Brisbane's new Boggo Road resort. No, we'd love him to come out. It's wonderful. Check out time sometime around 2020.
What about telling him that the 80s revival we've been hearing so much about has finally arrived? Oh, he'd love that. He is the 80s.
He is the 80s.
Tell him that Miami Vice style suits are back, white shoes are back, Jeffrey Edelstein is the height of fashion yet again. Get him back here.
Now we're talking.
I don't know if any of these ideas are good enough. We're looking for ways to lure him back, and we're looking for if you've got a bit of Mission Impossible style heist work.
Mm.
Anything you reckon will get Scacey back on Australian soil. We want to hear about it. Have we got a prize?
Yes, indeed. We're sitting on a couple of comedy vids. Firstly, the new Blackadder Christmas Carol and the extremely fine bit of Oscar-winning animation, The Wrong Trousers. You've got to see this film if you haven't seen it already. And you'll go into the draw for a trip for you and three friends to visit the Galliano Sambuca Singles Party at Club Med Noumea. Scacey pops over there. He's not supposed to. He's not supposed to, but you'll see him just tumbling off the top diving board, still in the chair with the mask.
There you go.
That's how much fun it is. Call us now with your Scacey scam. 1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy, the maladjusted nutbags on the new SAFM.
There's a bit of UB40 with Kingston Town. Is that correct? Yes, it is. Kingston Town.
Well done, you win a prize.
I'm sorry, I was thinking, is that where Scacey lives? I was totally confused for a second here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. We're just cobbling it together still. Are we all comfortable? Are we all ready?
I think we're ready to go.
Because the government has, well, I'm not going to say they've given up, but they've certainly run out of money. They've decided we've spent enough of the taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm.
That's debatable, I suppose, because they might get more back if they finally get him. Let's not get into that area.
Right.
We're saying, how are we going to get Scacey back here? Let's think of a more ingenious, tricky, sneaky kind of way of doing it. Okay, who have we got, Mickey?
It's Jason. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks.
Okay, yeah, not too bad. What's your canny plan?
Mate, I thought we could get John Howard to give him a call.
Yeah.
And seeing as he's so good with the money, and tell him that we need a new treasurer over here.
Oh, okay, so... And we wouldn't be lying.
Yeah, you're right, wouldn't it?
Gee, imagine Scacey's it'd be an apology every day. Every day it'd just be...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Dr. Greenspan would have to get a ramp outside his office.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Now we've got Kristen with a suggestion. What's your idea, Kristen?
We could invite him over to the 2000 Paralympics.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know how our genuine Paralympians would feel, but obviously he could be a kind of mascot.
Mm. Yeah.
He could be a kind of court jester at the front of the Paralympic parade.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. People just hurling tomatoes at him.
He can wheel, he can get a big ramp, he can wheel himself up and light the flame.
Why not? Mm. Just using a few old forms. Just kill two things with one stone. He's shredding documents and lighting the flame simultaneously. Thanks very much, Kristen. Now we've got Patrick with a way of getting Scacey back here. What is it, Patrick?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I was wondering, how about promising him a spot on the footy show in Sydney, you know, get him dressed up in rags and all smirsky, like sure.
Well, obviously, with the accoutrements he's packing for most of his public appearances, he's already probably bizarre enough in appearance to get onto the footy show.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You can see him facing up to Sturlo as the Smurf. Smurf v. Scace.
Yeah.
He could be Mahatma Respirator. I don't know. We can think of a character for him.
Yeah.
Scacey, tonight on the footy show. All right, Patrick, it might
Just work. Have we got Sue? You there, Sue?
Yeah, hello.
How are we going to get Skacey back?
Oh, I think because he's such a hero and all of our children look up to him, we'll have a big gala day like we did for our Olympians. And right out on the point, maybe at the Opera House there, we'll do a, like they have in New York, instead of a Statue of Liberty, we'll have a Statue of Skacey.
A Statue of Skacey?
Yeah, but instead of holding up a torch, you'll be holding up his ventilator.
Or just holding up one finger to all the investors.
Yeah, one finger.
And there'll be more than just birds trying to take a crap on that.
There'll be blokes with their arse sticking out of balconies going, God, that's great!
There'll be former Quintex shareholders hiring helicopters to have a bit of AFL balcony-style work over there. Rightio, okay, not a bad idea. So we've got Vince now. Vince, what are we going to do about this Skacey situation?
Oh, I reckon you could send over Mike Whitney and, here from Who Dares Wins and get him to see if you'll come back over here.
Right, so make it a bit of a challenge.
Daring
you to come back.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. And
would he fall for it?
I don't know, but I find when I go around to Mike Whitney's place, I usually need the respirator myself. But thanks
so
for
him. That's the extent of the plan, is to dare him. So we all stand here going, hey, Skacey, bet you're too chicken to come back.
Dear.
Come on.
All right, well, I don't know if that's going to work. I think we need a bolder plan, and I think Stuart is going to have to be the man with the plan. Tell us about it, Stu.
We get Mike Munro to invite him on This Is Your Life.
No, oh, okay. Because you can't say no to Mike Munro,
or you look like
a bit of a bad egg, don't you? So
yeah, and you can even have it to like, do you remember this man? Well, he don't remember you. It's Alan Bond.
Do you remember this angry mob of investors? So we send Mike Whitney over there.
No, by Mike Munro.
Mike Munro over there with the book to Spain, and he just surprises him, does he?
Yeah.
Is there any way of keeping Mike Munro in Spain?
Well,
can it be some kind of exchange program?
An accident on the way back.
Well, I think of all the suggestions we've heard, I think that's the one that could work.
Mike Munro showing up at Chateau Skacey with a big red book and saying, this is your life.
Yep.
These are your handcuffs. Nicely done, Stuart. You've got yourself the Blackadder Christmas Carol video, the wrong trousers vid. And you've also gone into the draw for that trip to Club Med Noumea. You and three friends, we're going to draw this tomorrow, are we, Em? Yes, indeed,
yep,
we
hello.
Are. All right. Wakey-wakey, everybody. And Stuart, be listening tomorrow.
Thanks very much.
Okay. You, and we'll be back in the next hour with somebody who's never tried to flee the country, as far as I know, and that's the man behind Elliot Gobblet.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
In this hour of Martin Malloy, Pot of Shite, a near-death experience for Richard Carlton, and next up, the man behind Elliot Gobblet, all thanks to Coca-Cola. Damned if it isn't the ultimate summer refreshment.
Boy, it's the second hour, and I think it's time for us to just move up a bit on the couch, if we could, Nicky.
There you go.
As we welcome somebody, this bloke, he's been coming out with bloody stupid comments professionally now for many years in his alter ego as Elliot Gobblet. Now, he's turned his mind towards the world of business with his new book, Business According to Gobblet. Is Australia heading for a Gobblet-led recovery? Let's find out as we meet Jack Levi.
Thank you, and as Elliot Gobblet would say, it's great to be inside your radio.
Now, we've got to ask, Jack, where does the line between Elliot and Jack, where is it? Is there a blur, a difference?
There's a murky border there somewhere, isn't there?
Right, sometimes it's very murky, you know, physical appearance-wise, not a lot of difference, but personality-wise, I think there's a lot, yeah. Actually, there's it's really an extension of myself and an expression of my fantasies.
Yeah. And how did he first come about? Take us way, way back.
How many years you been doing this?
Were you in mad scientist type laboratory where all of a sudden you brought him to life? What happened?
Mate, I started by working at Telecom, and I think deadpan comedy was really a logical extension from that.
Right.
No, but seriously. And it's great to be able to laugh on radio, I've got to say. This is fantastic. Be able to laugh and use inflection. This is fantastic.
Look out.
Yeah, wonderful.
Loosen the
terrific.
Belt, Jack. Kick back and enjoy.
He'll be riding one of us around the room like a horse any second now. He's off the leash.
Oh, mate, I look forward to that. Couldn't do that as Elliot. I started on a show called... well, really on a show called You're a Star. After a session of comedy of errors, really, at the joke where one good performance was followed by four or five bad ones, I actually used the only 4 good minutes of material that I had on a show called You're a Star back in 1982.
Wow, okay. What is You're a Star? Who was involved in that?
Well, it's a talent show. There was Tim Webster was hosting it.
Oh, yeah.
And judges on my particular night included Keith Potka and Tommy Tico. Now, Tommy Tico couldn't understand one thing that I said, and Keith Potka could. But fortunately for me, the Daryl Summer show, that's the old Tuesday night show, they could understand what I was on about and invited me onto the show, and then they started using me regularly for the next 2 years.
So, now, the Daryl Summer show, was that the show where there was no furniture?
That's right, yeah.
People used to just sit around on the floor.
Mate, yeah, that's right.
Was it a budgeting problem? What was going on there?
I don't know what it was, mate. I think they were just trying to be a bit radical, you know? No furniture.
Now, I actually found, when I first became aware of Elliot Goblet was when I was living in New Zealand. This would have been about 80-something. And I found your, was it an EP or some sort of record you put out in a second-hand shop? And it was totally baffling and mystifying, but it used to be on quite a bit round at our place.
Mate, I think they were Waddy Stir Fry commercials.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, yeah. I think you were confusing, yeah.
What was that EP? You had a record.
Oh, mate, it was called A Change of Pace. I did that very early in my career, and I'm not all that proud of it now. It was done in 1984.
Oh, no, that was a fine bit of vinyl. When's it coming out on CD? That's what I would have known.
Oh, I put the book on CD, mate.
Now, Jack, in addition to, of course, maintaining Mr. Goblet, you're a bit of an activist. What have we been seeing you in the paper, in the Melbourne papers at least, lately doing?
Mate, I was very passionate about saving the Hawthorn Football Club. Yeah, I didn't want them to be taken over by Melbourne. And geez, I got a lot of press about that. I'm very happy with the victory, I've got to say.
Yeah, everything had a happy result, because this is widespread. It's happening in Sydney at the moment. It's just happened in Melbourne. It's this amazing rationalisation of clubs and resources. Is it a scary thing?
Mate, it was a scary thing until we won the battle. But, yeah, I would have, I think it would have been, if I can talk seriously, we would have had some very serious negative social consequences if Hawthorn had merged, because all these kids, and there's lots of them, who wear brown and gold jumpers, would have just turned a rabble.
Yeah,
that wasn't meant to be funny.
They would have been out in the streets. They wouldn't have had anything to do.
That wasn't meant to be funny, but if I get a laugh on that, it's a bonus.
One in the bag. Now, we must ask about, it's business, according to Goblet. It's a new literary work.
Mate, it is.
It's not one of these Demidenko-style things. It has been written by Elliot Goblet, has it?
Mate, every bit of it. Even the spaces in between sentences were written by me.
Right. And I imagine you're out on the circuit doing that.
I will be. This. Well, this is you guys are the first that I've spoken to. This is the world's first.
Okay.
So please be gentle on me.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the world's first. I've got media coming up after this, but I wanted to hold it off until after I spoke to the most important.
Yes,
Jack.
Usually we're at the other end of the train, but Jack, can you stick around for another break? We want to get in between the covers of this little tome of yours.
Yes.
That'll be next on Martin Molloy. Christine Arnoux on for a bit of a party here at Martin Molloy. Now, Jack Levi is with us today. Who's he, you might be saying? Well, he's the owner, operator, manager of Elliot Goblet.
And co-tenant in the same body.
That's right. They've been they're getting on quite well these days.
Yep.
There was a space back in the 80s where they weren't seeing eye to eye, but they've put that behind them.
They've worked it out. They're the odd couple. They're the odd couple dwelling.
Now, Jack, what has Elliot done? He's written a book. Is it his first book?
Yeah, first book, mate. Yep, numero uno. Yep.
And he's tackled business.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that? Does the business world need the help of Elliot Goblet? Do you feel that's where they've been going wrong all these years?
Well, it's a unique perspective, mate. It's really, it's everything you ever wanted to know about business, but were too afraid to ask.
Right.
That's what's in that book. And it's good business sense heavily coated with good business nonsense. So I think it'd be a refreshing change from all of those really serious business books that are out there, and there's quite a few of those.
And how long did it take you to write, Jack?
Mate, it took me about 8 months, but I did stop for meal breaks.
So it was a nice leisurely pace, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. And is it going to change your life at all, do you think?
Mate, I think it will. I think having written this book, I'll probably be a bit more famous. I think I'll be shaking more people's hands and kissing more babies' heads.
Well, that's what I think every great author sets out to achieve when he first sits down in front of that blank bit of paper.
And what exactly does Elliot Goblet have to offer the businessmen of today?
Just a unique perspective. I mean, I could tell the radio listeners to go and buy the book and find out.
Yes.
But, It's all in there. I mean, it's a one-stop business book. I touch every major business subject imaginable, customer service, selling, relationship marketing, innovative thinking, just all of those subjects. And it's all bundled in the one book. After you've read that book, you won't need to read another business book ever again.
Yeah, and it must be starting to take some effect because I saw a meeting of the Telstra board the other day and they all had little goatees and zinc on their nose.
Mate, I gave away the zinc 10 years ago.
You gave away the
zinc. You've really been following my career closely, haven't you?
I was just checking to see if you were up with Elliot Goblet's latest antics, Jack. No, you don't know what he's been up to behind your back.
No.
He could be getting out on Saturday nights with the zinc going quite crazy.
Now, I got to say, I'm a bit tired of seeing goatee beards around. If there are any women out there, would you please get your men who have got goatee beards to shave them off? You know, it's just a case of mad goatee disease, isn't it?
Mad goatee disease.
And do you get a royalty every time someone grows one of them beards? Is there a beard royalty system? I feel
mate, there ought to be. Yeah.
I'd like to think that if somebody else was writing on their face with felt pen, they'd be sending a little payment to Bob Geldof.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
I actually thought about doing that myself.
And you said this is the all-encompassing book. It's about business. It's everything you need to know. Is there going to be a second book?
Mate, I'm just recovering from the first book, I've got to say, but I'd like to try something really different and go straight to a third book. never been tried before, so I'm really looking forward to the challenge.
Oh, it could be revolutionary. Yeah,
yeah. And, Jack, can you give us an example of, a thought of, say, Mr. Goblet's Read the World of Business?
Oh, golly, you want me to read out a quote or something, do
yes,
you?
Yes, we'll turn it into a book reading on Martin Malloy. It's been a while.
Golly, well, I'll just try and read a little one that sort of hangs together. I'm not really prepared for this, but page 51 is where I've ended up at. And all of those people out there who have got the book, please turn to page 51.
Follow the bouncing
okay,
ball.
Okay, Elliot Goblet says, it is a fact that 20% of your customers give you 80% of your business. So in view of this statistic, it's only logical that you should work on the other 80% of your customers. Because if you could get this 80% to increase their business to an amount equivalent to that generated by the other 20%, then 100% of your customers would give you a staggering 160% of your business. Up until now, that's been virtually unheard of.
There you go. That,
it's look, clear, concise. It's speaking to every man.
Look and learn Edward De Bono. That's what I'm saying. You don't need those 55 books of Edward De Bono's if you've got business according to Goblet.
And I'm having a look up the front of the book, and you've got a couple of interesting testimonials here. You've got a Ford from Alan Pease. Who's Peasy? Tell us the Peasy story.
Mate, Alan Pease is the master of body language, and I really felt that the book needed a bit of body language because it's quite deficient in that area.
Right.
So he very kindly offered to say yes to writing the foreword. Pete Crofts, the humour expert, has written the introduction.
And he's got some kind of Carmen Miranda-style arrangement on the head, and he is he runs the Humourversity, am I correct in saying that?
That's right, mate. He's just he's head and shoulders above the rest, and his knowledge of humour and the knowledge of the theory of it, and he's a humour guru.
Are you a graduate yourself of the Humourversity, Jack?
Mate, I am, yeah. He's really helped me with my humour attitude and direction.
Is it true that Alexander Downer has graduated from the Humourversity? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, but not Pete Crofts' Humourversity. He went to the wrong one, and that's the result. Yeah.
And did you have to pay for your education at the Humourversity, Jack? Or was this pre-Amanda Vanstone?
No, we did it. I did it. I think I did contra deal with him, mate. Yeah.
Now, Jack, what is next for Elliot? Has he got anything coming up apart from the book? Any dates you want to mention? Must be working on something.
Well, mate, I've just finished a long book, but
and it's time for a lie down.
Time for a real long lie down. Yeah. I do. Not mainly corporate gigs, so the public just ain't invited, I got to say.
Mm.
Oh, actually, I could plug the fact that I'm at Snug Harbour next week.
Up in Brizzy-Wizzy?
Yeah, Brisbane. Yeah,
we've played it.
Yeah, fantastic room, and I'm sure they'd be happy with a little plug. I didn't expect to give them a plug, but there's a bonus.
There you go.
Gold Coast on Wednesday night next week. It's Alexandra Headlands, I think, and then Thursday, Friday and Saturday at... Snug Harbour. There'll be a few books for sale on that night. Autographed copies, yeah.
And what else have you got in the way of promotion coming up for the book?
Mate,
anything you can talk about?
I spoke to my wonderful publishers, Harper Collins, about whether we can announce anything about that or not, and we really haven't got the dates locked in, but I will be doing other media and...
what about, are you going to be going on Who Dares Wins? I'd like to see Elliot Goblet doing a bit of abseiling, doing a bit of running of the bulls.
No, I tell you what I will be doing in the really near future that I can announce, and that's I'm on sale with Century on a gift shop tomorrow night. And my unofficial launch of the book is on Saturday night on Hey Hey.
Well, yeah. I think we've got all the dates. Yeah. And now, after that exhausting session here at Martin Molloy, Jack, I think it's time for you to step into the depressurisation chamber as we say goodbye this afternoon.
Mate, thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciate it. Bye for now. Buy the book.
Better music. SAFM now playing better music variety from the 70s.
Must do some banking now. That's,
put it down.
Tony Childs with many rivers to cross, and we'd like to thank Jack Levi for popping in here at very short notice too, because Judith Lucy, as you know, is usually in about midweek around your Wednesday or Thursday, but we got a call very late this afternoon, and all we were told was that she was racing towards the smallest room in the house. And I'm thinking, we haven't released our new album yet, so that can't be to blame.
Exactly.
All right.
That's usually material for Jude. That we usually would have constituted a whole break on our program.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get the full details next week. And thanks to Jack for dropping by. And I was kind of distracted during that interview because I'm not used to speaking to Elliot Goblet out of character.
No, I know.
It was kind of unusual and disorienting. Yeah. And it didn't help, you know, that he was completely covered in chocolate body paint. You know, I probably didn't tell that at home. But it was just distracting.
What's that Jeremy Irons film with the twin brothers?
Dead Ringers.
That's what it was like. Oh. It had that kind of creepy overtones to me.
And he had a little suitcase with him and it had some unusual tools in it, I'm sure. And by the way, the book Business According to Goblet, it's going to save the economy in my opinion.
Indeed.
And I don't know if it's in the shops yet, but well, if it isn't, it certainly will be soon. And Pete, what's it time for now?
It's time for radio's premier talent quest. Pot of Shite. Could you be the next Frankie J. Holden? The next Debbie Newsom? The next Grant Dodwell? Teen Queens? Or Sam C. and the Feelers? Even if you're merely the current Sam C. and the Feelers, give us a call and let us lead you to the Pot of Shite at the end of the rainbow.
Well, it is shite, and I reckon I've mastered the world's fastest Devil Went Down to Georgia rendition.
Take it away, Don.
Devil Went Down to Georgia, looking for sort of deals in barracks way behind the room, make deal. Came across a young man, saw him film, playing hot. Devil Jump, my head, stone, said, boy, let me tell you what. Guess you didn't know, but I'm fiddle player too, and if you can't take a day, I'll bank play with you. You play perfect, go fiddle bob, give the devil a Jew, but fiddle gold, gets your sword, think I'm better than you. Yeah, I didn't get to do my violin solo, but...
You call we'll contact the world's fastest violin player, and you guys have got it made.
Every winner on Pot of Shite takes home a three-pack of CDs thanks to Warner Music, and goes into the draw to win a Ford Festiva Trio valued at more than $17,000. Ford Festiva, the escape hatch. Fun to drive and easy on the wallet. All thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Okay, lads, stir that pot.
We'd be glad to, Pete Smith. And what are we looking for here at Pot of Shite? We're looking for talent, I think, first and foremost.
But in small quantities.
Yeah.
<'Cause> not too much.
You know, you can't have too much talent,
oh,
I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Some people have far too much talent.
So I've heard.
So we want, you know, anyone can take part in this.
Yep.
We'll accept Yul Brynner calling from beyond the grave.
Mm.
Have you heard about this? That remember the Yul Brynner ad?
Yep.
Before he passed away, Mr. Brynner recorded a community service advertisement for, you know, inviting you not to smoke.
Yep.
Inviting you not to smoke.
Absolutely.
Asking you, requesting that you please
in the strongest
smoke.
Possible terms.
That's right. And he's saying, I'm dead now, and, well, you know, there you go. Look and learn, kiddies. And I think it's Yul Brynner's birthday today. He's celebrating in a quiet ceremony at his home.
Uh-huh.
And it's the 11th anniversary of his death, in fact, and they're running the ad again. I think in some states you'll be able to see this ad. There's a lot of this about, isn't there?
See his big, baldy noggin.
You can see Yul Brynner from beyond the grave advertising. You can see...
I hope they do the same thing with Teddy. Teddy's dead.
Oh. Hi, I'm Teddy. I'm dead. Kids, I don't know what to tell you not to do, but don't do it.
Exactly. He died from lack of movement.
There you go.
But, you know, you've got George Burns still doing
That's
commercials
right.
from beyond the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a trend?
Oh, I hope so.
I'd like to see more retailers doing that. I'd like to think that mad bastard, the lounge discounter,
He's recording a few from when it's his time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm dead now, but my prices are still ridiculously low. Let's see a bit of that. How did we get here? I'm not sure. We're just saying, basically, that anybody can take part in Pot of Shite. We're not excluding anything at this point. We'll accept comedy. We'll accept music. We'll accept rope tricks. Mm-hmm. Whatever you've got, call us up now. And apart from anything, put yourself in the running for a $17,000 vehicle, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open, which is itself coming very soon. Call us, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
It's been almost an hour. What the devil are they doing?
Brought to you by...
Shite, yes, that's right. Even we have our standards. If you feel you have something to offer, call us now and have it sort of ready, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-657-657.
I feel good. SAFM.
Here we are. It's Pot of Shite time, finally, at Martin Malloy. What was the hold-up, Mickey? What kind of calls were we getting? I want to know what exactly was, you know, being presented that was being rejected on Pot of Shite.
Well, I mean, what do you want? Satanic messages. People saying they're going to kill us. What would you like?
Okay.
Well, what else?
I don't know that we can offer a prize for that kind of behaviour. Have we got anybody we can put to air?
I believe so. And because we took some extra time with this, Tone, I'm betting now this will be the best of all time. We must be sitting on absolute gold with these three. Ain't that right, Peter?
Yeah, mate.
All righty. You're on. You're kicking us off today on Pot of Shite. What exactly will you be doing for us?
Well, I'm going to do an impersonation of Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonating Frank Spencer.
Yes.
And only to be fair, I'm going to do Frank Spencer impersonating Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, so you're going to top yourself.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, take it away, Peter.
Well, this one's Arnold.
Betty, the cat has done a whoopsie in my bed. Hand me the Uzi 9mm. Hasta la vista, pussycat.
Okay, now let's hear the reverse.
Yeah, Frank. Betty, you better hand me that big shiny gun. I have to get those terrorists.
Okay. I agree, Mickey. It was worth waiting
for. See?
All right.
All right.
Nicely done. Very conceptual, Peter. But now we've got Tiffany. Tiffany, you're not Tiffany of Tiffany fame, are you, I'm hoping?
I sure am.
You are?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Pardon?
What are you doing for us today?
I am actually on Wheel of Fortune as we speak.
You're on Wheel of... Turn up the sound, Emma. What's going on? You're on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
We've got three people. None of them can find the volume control. Somebody's just changed to SBS.
The producer of the show is going to sort it out for us.
He's vaulting over the desk. We've got to confirm this because I must admit that would be pretty impressive. Okay, turn up the sound if you could, Emma, and let's see if it's Tiffany.
I'm in the blue corner.
You're in the blue corner. Oh, well, the wheel's just stopping.
410.
A G, please.
Is that you?
That's Lena.
Oh, Lena. She's no good.
She's a dud.
And what do you...
Okay, what is the message? Tell us what it says.
What is that?
I can't see the TV.
Oh, you were supposedly there.
I'm there.
There's only three puzzles. It's the three-puzzle format. Surely you can remember what it was.
I can't.
The 60s, something digit.
Oh, it is... Let me think. The new postcodes introduced into Australia's phone system or something.
I'm guessing you didn't win, Tiffany.
I won a clock.
Well, all we can see is someone called Lena and, of course, Tony Barber all over the new format, dancing around, singing songs. There's Adriana spinning the letters, but still no sign of Tiffany as yet.
There it is, four-digit postcodes, something about a...
Four-digit postcode system introduced to into Australia.
I think it might be Tiffany. There she is. Oh, looking smashing too, Dale.
I look 10 years older than what I am.
And when was this recorded? Back in the 70s?
September.
You've appeared on Wheel of Fortune. I suppose that's enough to get you on Pot of Shite.
You're in there with a red hot go at this, this major prize, Tiffany.
Thank you. They just keep cutting to Lena. She's a wheel hog. I don't like her. All right, well, now we'll move on to somebody else. Dave, have you appeared on a game show or are you on a television program at this very moment?
No, I'm not, sorry.
What are you going to do to entertain us?
Well, today I'm going to do an impersonation or two impersonations. And the first one's going to be the mating call of a yak. And the second one's going to be a horse going into the Nattery Mincer, and I'm going to do them both on a trumpet.
So you've got a trumpet. You're going to provide us with two impersonations. Right. Yes. What was the first one again?
The mating call of a yak.
Okay, let's hear that now.
All right, coming up.
And the second one?
The horse going into the Nattery Mincer.
All right, I'm guessing it'll be pretty similar. Take it away. Well, what an impressive selection we're faced with, Mickey.
You know, he spent 6 years at the conservatorium, this boy.
Yeah. That's how he's come out the other end.
Yeah, modern-day classic.
Can we award somebody...
Do you think his cheeks go the big puffy Duke Wellington Louis Armstrong as he's doing that?
Even if they did, would it help? That's what I'm asking. Can we award somebody just for being on Wheel of Fortune? I don't know.
We could if we had Lena on the line. But because it's Tiffany, it was a no-show. We're going up the top and it's Peter with his uncanny arm.
Oh, well. Peter, have you appeared on a television game show?
No, not yet. I've been trying.
Oh, well, good luck to you.
One day.
The dream could come true.
Never know.
All right, and then you could call us back and create confusion and havoc on our program.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
You've got the 3-pack of CDs, and you've gone into the draw for that $17,000 vehicle courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. Thanks for helping us out today.
No worries.
At Pot of Shite. Thanks to everybody who took part. And now what we're going to do is... Mickey, I have to ask, did you see the euthanasia debate on 60 Minutes? The sensitive euthanasia
court
debate?
Court snippets.
It was on Sunday night. In case you missed it, listeners, we've got a recording. Listen to this.
Euthanasia. It's a complex issue with both moral and political and both medical and religious and both social dimensions. Well, that's five, isn't it? Well, both of those five dimensions contribute to its complexity. Therefore, our challenge here tonight will be to generate as much simplistic hysteria in the studio audience as we can before the next ad break. But first, let's meet the inventor of the Northern Territory's so-called suicide machine, Dr. Graham Fuchs.
Good evening, Richard.
Could you show us how your instrument of death works?
Certainly. The patient has this intravenous needle inserted into the arm, but before the lethal injection can proceed, he must answer a series of questions on this computer keyboard.
Right. First, we've got, are you sure you want to continue with this fatal procedure?
That's so they know what they're getting into.
Next, we've got, have you put the cat out?
Yes, there's been a few incidents.
Then why not inquire about our fixed-term home loans?
No, sorry, that was supposed to have been removed.
Are you certain you understand? If you proceed to the next level, you will die.
And that's the final checkpoint, and all you do now is press this button.
Welcome to the final level, mortal. Prepare to meet your maker.
Sorry, the people from Nintendo have been supplying much of the software.
Thank you, Doctor. Now let's turn to the audience and see if we can generate some emotive sound bites for the promo. Father Meredith, you represent the Catholic Church. Let me suggest for a moment that I'm terminally ill. I want to die. Why won't you and your religion get out of my way?
Oh, I think in your case we could make an exception, Richard.
I see. But what about the moral implications?
Oh, bugger them. Hook yourself up. Off you shoot.
Dr. McDermott, you represent the AMA. You're opposed to this, aren't you?
Well, generally speaking, yes. But I have to side with the church on this one. Go for your life.
What about the right to lifers?
We'll help if you want. Yes, let's get it over and done with now.
Dr. Fuchs, returning to you. Surely, for me to carry out this procedure, I'd require the signatures of three licensed medical practitioners.
Yes, but I'll just sign the form three times if you like. I don't think we'll have too much trouble.
Sure, fine. Have I pointed out that this is a hypothetical situation? I don't really want to die. It's just for the purposes of this debate. Ow! Well, now we're seeing something we can use. Ow! And, we'll be back with my death by lethal injection after this break.
Stephanie's making very little impact as far as I can tell. Oh, there she is now. She's doing something. I think she's being presented with a board game by Tony Barber.
Which is more than she got for her appearance on Pot of Shite.
She's gone, I've tanked on Wheel. Maybe I can bust open the pot.
That's what we need, a board game for Pot of Shite.
Yeah, that'd be very simple.
Shall I put that down on our list of things to do?
Do that. I'm just going through the cut snakes, the mad people who write into the papers. Every now and then, a letter gives away the age of the correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, I see where these letters are coming from now.
Right.
Listen to this one. Read Channel 7's lotto draw on Saturday nights. Not being speed readers, could you leave the Super 66 numbers up a bit longer? Actually, this goes for the whole draw. I'd like to see a two-hour lotto draw.
Take your time, everyone. There'll be another number round in about 15 minutes.
You might want to go out and make a coffee. The next ball's going to be dropping at 10 past.
Don't stay up for the supplementaries, please. Go and have a nap.
What about this one? If the paleontologists are correct with their findings of early human presence in Australia, then this casts doubt on present-day claims of Aborigines to be the original inhabitants.
Mm.
Why do I get the feeling that this bloke probably was one of the original inhabitants of Australia?
You may be right.
Or it might be Graham Campbell, the asshole for Kalgoorlie, who's on the front of the Sydney Morning Herald today claiming, well, of course, he's out there going into bat for Australians against further immigration. Why don't we want further immigration? I'll tell you why, says Graham, because they're spreading disease. Immigrants are spreading disease. They're not only driving up unemployment, they're spreading hepatitis and tuberculosis. Disease is now on the march, thanks to our immigration policies, according to Graham Campbell. And, you know, so what he's saying is, they're coming over here, these diseases. They're putting our own Aussie diseases out of work. He's saying, we've got diseases that are the, you know, what do we need foreign disease? We've got our own disease.
Yeah.
We do. It goes by the name of Graham Campbell, sadly. He's also claiming authorship for Pauline Hanson's speech, her maiden speech in Parliament. He's saying...
He's the brains behind that.
He goes, he welcomed Miss Hanson's dramatic parliamentary debut. He had, quote, lent one of my people to help her write the controversial speech. Mr. Squiggle, obviously working for...
And isn't he claiming, too, recently he was beaten up by Asians?
He's always got... Somebody's always doing... Remember he was on the 60 Minutes debate? The gun debate going, I single-handedly fought off 17 hooligans in my lounge room. Now he's saying we don't need Asians in this country because 10 Asians recently beat up my son in Perth.
Yeah, well, if we could send him his way, that's more reason for increasing Asian immigration, I'd suggest.
All right, what about... do we have time for a quick freak watch? What is Michael Jackson up to? Anything at all?
Oh, well, look, we were browsing through the mags and look what we've come up with. Theatre management at the legendary London Palladium Tone laid on special arrangements for a royal visit by self-styled King of Pop Michael Jacko Jackson, who had dropped in to see the stage show Oliver. Now, what would he be doing there? During a visit there last week, Jackson took over the royal box, but in keeping with his reclusive nature, he had insisted beforehand that a hoarding be placed around his seat so that British nosy parkers wouldn't be able to spot him. No. I think it was other patrons who insisted they put a hoarding up around his seat. What do you think he's doing? They're saying he might be actually thinking of doing a production himself of Oliver.
Is that right?
And in a visionary mood, Jackson said he'd be considering himself for the juvenile lead.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well,
he's backing up some more.
Yes, exactly. He hasn't got the nose for Fagin. But,
yes, if he could sing I've Got to Peck a Pocket or Two, maybe he'd be in.
Hang on. See, why would Michael Jackson want to visit a musical which features a young boy saying, please, sir, can I have another? I have no idea. We'd like to thank...
Normally in a theatre like that, isn't he up the back on the organ, just playing away, occasionally swinging across on ropes? He doesn't need his own seat.
We'd like to thank Jack Levi, Emma Moss, all our gladiators and podsters. Thank you, Tiffany, and we'll be back tomorrow with, well...
book writing authoress Kathy Lett. See you tomorrow, people. If you can't say something intelligent, go and have a word to Graham Campbell.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.